I think my major exercise for the day is simply going to the bathroom. I'm serious. That's really about it for me.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's about it.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Morning, good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. There's nothing like an Irish person saying good morning. It's so real. It's so genuine. I mean, I can say good morning and you'll say, okay, fine. But if I were really Irish and had a real brogue or a brooch on or something like that, and I said, hey, good morning, top of the morning to you, it would be like, wow, that's real. That's a real good morning. Seriously. No kidding, right? Yeah. Seeing the fresh face of an Irish person in the morning, something about Irish people that just make you feel so morning-ish. By the afternoon, they're pretty much done, so that's not real good. But the morning, they just, hey, good morning, top of the morning to you. Top of the morning to you. It's, wow, you start at the top. That's cool. Good for you. See, it's not racist if you compliment an entire race of people. See, racist is when you down them. Yeah, but if you're complimenting an entire race of people, they accept that completely. Well, yes, we are smarter than most people, actually. Yes, we are. We are Asian, and we are smarter than you. Yes, and at least you admit that. See, that's okay. They don't mind that. But when you say, all blank people are rich, then, oh, you racist bastard. But if I say all Irish people are just wonderful in the morning, they're so lively and just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, then it's, okay, yeah, sure. It's true. It's true. It's true. I have one friend who talks like that. Really, it's true. I find it at first adorable, and then after 5 minutes, it goes into the why don't you shut up mode. You know, it's all right enough. You're doing a cute little accent. Now it's not cute anymore. I feel the same way about cheerleaders. I guess I'm racist against cheerleaders. I suppose. I feel the same way about cheerleaders. They're very. They actually cheer up your life. They're so happy, razzy, dazzy, dazzy people. They're so full of life and full of energy. It's like the sun is shining out of their ass. You know, it's like, how do you do that? How do you do that? They're inspirational, and you know, how are you feeling today, Ron? I'm feeling okay. Come on, Ron. Come on, let's make this the best day possible. Yay, Ron. You can do anything, Ron. Come on, let's have sex immediately. Yay. Yeah, that's very, very uplifting. You know, who could hate that kind of attitude? You want to be around positive people. But after a certain period of time, you don't want to be around them. And he was like, I'm exhausted. Can you just bring it down a notch for half an hour? No, I can't. Yay. Yay, life. Come on, let's live every moment. Yay. No, I don't want to live every moment of it. You're tiring me out. And don't you feel any type of sadness ever? I mean, Seriously? Hey, my parents are sick. Yay. Come on, bring it down a notch, pretty much, please. I've never seen a depressed cheerleader, and I'm scared to. Would it be like the opposite if something horrible happened in their life or to someone they know? Would they go into such an immediate suicidal depression? Like extreme opposites, like bipolar? Is cheerleading a bipolar situation? Either you're leading the cheer and just happy as a pig in mud. I clean that up for the kids. And then if something goes wrong, it's like you start like cutting yourself. I mean, is it bipolar to be a cheerleader? Because the high part is really extreme. And I'm not talking about cheerleaders that say, let's pick up a pom-pom and let's win the game. No, I'm talking about cheerleaders of life who are constantly happy about everything. How life is just a carpet of wonderful, wonderful things. It's a great theory, but life presents so many challenges that you'd have to be a little delusional to think that everything's that cheery, because it ain't. So if you're a cheerleader and you really believe in what you're cheerleading, you might need some therapy, because you're like too far out on that. Yeah. And again, I know people like everything. I mean, I've been around. It's not my first rodeo. By the way, I think I've told you this before. I've said it so many times, but it's such a great expression. I've never been to a rodeo, really. I mean, I've seen them on TV a little bit with the bucking horses and the bucking bulls and the bucking people and that whole bucking mess. I've never been to a real rodeo and sat in a crowd amongst them, but I think I would like to. And then when it was quiet, I would stand up and yell as loud as I could, "Hey, this is my first rodeo." I was going to say radio, because, "Hey, this is my first rodeo." And everybody would say, "Oh, shut up, sit down." And then I would go to my second rodeo. About a week later, I'd go to another rodeo. It would be my second rodeo. And when it got quiet, I would stand up and yell even louder, "Hey, this isn't my first rodeo." And that would be great to say. Of course, you can't go to a rodeo without wearing a cowboy hat. Male or female, you got to wear a cowboy hat. Cowboy hats are so cool. Hats are so cool. I see pictures of people back at the turn of the century and in the early 1900s. And they were wearing hats, and everybody looked so damn cool.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
I wish I could wear a hat. But if I wore a hat, people would stare at me and say, "Look at the man wearing the hat." Because it's not common. It's not socially across the board anymore. Now, I've seen pictures of people back in the 30s, the 1930s. I wasn't alive then. I don't know what I was then. I was probably a chair. I've been reincarnated. I was a chair. People wore hats, and they looked really good. I mean, sometimes they were derbies, and sometimes they were fedoras, which is that, you know, that's the real cool-looking hat. Because when you wear one of those hats, you kind of tilt them a little bit to the side, and that's really cool. Cowboy hats, too. Don't wear them straight on your head. Tilt them a little bit to the side. Oh, yeah, that's special. And then your one eye is bigger than the other when you tilt your head to the side and your hat to the side. Oh, it's just such a cool thing. See, in the South, in Texas, I think, not all of Texas, but in the rural parts, everybody does wear a cowboy hat. And I watched the Country Music Awards last night. And by the way, it was advertised, it was the CMA Awards, and for the longest time, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. What's CMA? Crazy Mix Association? I don't know what that is. And then I saw a commercial for it, and it was, oh, people wearing hats, country music, right? So that was on last night. I didn't watch it because I don't like country music to the point that I'll admit that I listen to it sometimes. I do listen to it sometimes because it's very important to find out what life is like when your dog is shot and your trailer breaks down and your girl does you wrong. And I always got a place in my heart for my mother. She told me when I was a little boy that I was going to grow up to be a man, and she was right. It tells stories that no one cares about, but it tells a story, and I can actually understand what they're saying. A little twangy, but I can actually understand what they're saying. And sometimes I do enjoy country music, but I do it quietly. I don't let anybody know about that, so please don't tell anybody. But it's okay, and I kind of wish I would have watched the Cockmasters, the Country Music Award program. But I started watching the World Series, and then I fell asleep. Yeah, I know, I did fall asleep. And so I missed everything. But anyway, what I loved about it was what I've seen from the clips is all the people in the audience are wearing cowboy hats. And I said to myself, I really need to get into this culture. I look so fucking great in a cowboy hat. Oh, you would melt in your pants. You would say, Ron, sex now. You would say that because me in a cowboy, oh, yeah. Oh, man. When I look in the mirror when I'm wearing a cowboy hat, I actually crave myself. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I look great in a cowboy hat. And thus, I crave the days when people walked around in hats. Those were the days when women wore stupid hats. Oh, they were stupid hats. All women wore hats, and they were all stupid hats. They had doilies coming down over their face. They had these gigantic fake roses in their hats. Their hats were like 8 feet tall on their head. I mean, they were just the stupidest looking things you could possibly. Some of them looked like dead animals, like Davy Crockett. I mean, they were just some of the most horrible hat ideas ever. I never thought a woman looked good in a hat, and never really ever did, unless it's like a regular hat and it's tilted to the side. Oh, yeah. Baseball caps? No. No one looks good in a baseball cap. You think you do, but you don't. If you're older than 10 years old, you look stupid in a baseball cap. If you're an adult and you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s and you're wearing a baseball cap, you are embarrassing. I know, maybe it's just me. I know, maybe you're just used to seeing a lot of people in baseball caps, but it kind of turns you into not who you are. It makes you look rather backward is what it does because you're not a baseball player really. And there's that little beak that comes out of the front. You look like the upper half of Daffy Duck. You just don't look very cool in a bit. Not too many people look real intelligent wearing a baseball cap. And the most unintelligent way of wearing a baseball cap is when you wear it backwards, when the beak of the cap, which is supposed to be a sun visor, is on the back of your head because it serves no purpose. So to look at you front on, it looks like you've got some kind of yarmulke on steroids on your head. You look stupid. Not that a yarmulke is stupid, but a yarmulke that covers your entire head and forehead is a stupid looking thing. I'm just saying, don't ever wear a baseball cap backwards with me because I will basically just look somewhere else and I will pity you. You know, it sounds like I'm angry at everything, but you know what? I'm just performing for you like your little puppet, like your little jester and your little court and your little castle. That's all I'm doing. This stuff doesn't bother me that much. Sure, it bothers me a little bit, but it's not consequential. It doesn't really matter. I'm just saying. That should be the name of a book that I write. I'm just saying. I don't really mean it. Doesn't really bother me that much. I'm just saying. I mean, in a very mild, friendly way, that stuff just doesn't work for me. And it doesn't work for me on you. But you do what you want to do. I don't care. I don't have to look at you. I don't have to deal with you. So whatever. Whatever you want to do is fine. I'm just saying. I do long for the days, though. Let Ron get back on track. I do long for the days. I was watching Donald Trump today at some type of a fakakta rally, which he holds all the time. It sounds like he's coaching a football team, and he's just all over the place. Never talks about issues ever at his rallies. He just basically, and maybe he does like for 5% of it, but 75% of all his rallies are just, we're doing really well in the polls, and what about that stupid lying little bitch? And, you know, just, oh my God, you're so presidential. He's standing there saying, we're doing a lot better. Donald, stay on point. Don't say anything stupid. Don't say anything stupid, Donald. Don't be the center of attention for stupid things. He says this to his rally people. He's repeating what his campaign people warned him about not doing. He's repeating it. I mean, either that's the mentality of a five-year-old child repeating what his parents told him to do out in public. My mama said not to pick my nose, so I shouldn't pick my nose. All right, that's moronic. And the other part is that it's psychotic. You don't stand there in a public presentation, and you even want to be president, but you're standing there in a public presentation with thousands of people in front of you, and you're repeating the stuff that you're not supposed to do because you can't control yourself usually, so you repeat to yourself, don't pick your nose, don't pick your nose, don't say stupid things, don't say stupid things, don't say stupid things. Oh my God, that is so stupid. That's admitting to everybody, I say stupid things, I do stupid things, I ruin things for myself. Mommy told me to be careful not to say that. He says this to everybody. It's just oh my God, you're scaring the hell out of me. This election is scaring the living hell out of me. And this basket of deplorables, which Hillary Clinton said it was only half of them, I would question those numbers. I'd pad the numbers up a little bit personally. But hey, you know, whatever. All right, let's move on before I get in trouble. And that's why I love hats.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
All right, you are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. By choice, I assume. I don't think this is being forced upon you. Tomorrow, on Friday, November 4th, we're doing something. It's special now, but eventually it'll be routine. We've been told that we should be video casting at least once a week in order to promote the program. So that's what we're going to do. Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, at 10 a.m., you can watch this show being done live. Yes, you can watch it. I know it's a radio show, but you can watch it. Here's how you do it. And it's going to be live. You go to YouTube. You all have YouTube on your smartphones, your computers, everywhere. You go to YouTube, search The Ron Van Dam Show. It'll bring you to our channel. And when we're live at 10, you'll see us live at 10. There'll actually be a feed up before 10 o'clock as we, you know, get set up. So if you want to watch us live, Tory Lagarde will be joining me for this live presentation, a television presentation. And you can watch us sit here and talk. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. From 10 to 10:45 a.m. tomorrow, Friday, November 4th. And the YouTube channel, The Ron Van Dam Show. You can watch us live at 10 o'clock. Or you can go to the website that you're probably listening to the show on right now, which is newenglandbroadcasting.com or ronvandam.com. There you go to the second page, which says television, and we'll be on that page live as well. Okay? If you care to, I think the magic of just listening to my voluptuous voice is really better than watching me talk. But whatever, ever. Oh boy, stuff I go through. Let's talk to some guests, okay? Let's talk to some guests. We're going to do some medical stuff today, if you don't mind. If you don't like medical stuff, then go somewhere else right now, because we're getting medical now. Let's do this. Let's do this, baby. Let's do this. Let's get medical on you. And you know, I do a lot of medical interviews. I'll do every once in a while, because I'm very health conscious. I really think that, you know, it's nice to live a long time, but if you live a long time, you should feel good and enjoy your life. You shouldn't be sitting in a bed with a tube up your nose. That's kind of not quality. So it's kind of important to be healthy. So I try to pass on as many health situations as possible on this show. I think it's very cool to do that. So today we're going to do that. We're going to talk about stroke. And a lot of people have them. And a lot of people have them. They don't even know it. So that's why this is kind of interesting to listen to. I think it's pretty cool. We'll just listen. Hello, Dr. Switzer. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Dr. Jeffrey A. Switzer is DOMCTS. He'll explain what that is. She's associate producer. I'm sorry, associate professor and probably producer. Director of Telestroke and Teleneurology Director, Comprehensive Stroke Center, Department of Neurology, Medical College of Georgia at Augusta University. That's his entire resume, by the way, pretty much is what it sounds like. Thanks for being with us. Are you with the lieutenant today?
We're separated. The Lieutenant General Crocker's in Arkansas. I'll let him speak.
All right.
For himself.
All right. Anyway, okay, so we're talking about stroke, and we have World Stroke Day on October 29th. How many incidents of stroke are there? How many Americans will actually, or people worldwide actually, develop stroke?
Well, in the United States, we estimate that there are approximately 800,000 strokes per year.
Hey, that's a lot. Oh, okay. Wow. Okay, now I'm scared. And a stroke is a stroke a form of a heart attack? Do they go hand in hand?
Well, they're both vascular diseases. Mm-hmm. They're both typically the result of a blockage in an artery. With heart attack or mm-hmm. a myocardial infarction, of course, that blockage is in an artery supplying blood flow to the heart. Whereas with a stroke, there's typically a blockage or an occlusion of an artery within the brain that results from a clot lodging within that artery.
Okay. All right, then. They both don't sound wonderful. And, of course, it can be fatal if not recognized. How do we recognize if we're a candidate for a stroke?
Yeah, so there are a number of risk factors for stroke. Some of them, of course, we can't do anything about, such as we get older with age. But there are modifiable risk factors that are important to recognize. The most prevalent risk factor is hypertension. Mm. And although we've gone a long way in recognizing and treating hypertension, still only about half of all patients with high blood pressure are receiving adequate treatment and having their blood pressure controlled. Okay. there still remain many people who are unaware that they have hypertension, or if they are aware, may not be taking medication or may not be having their blood pressure completely controlled. There are other risk factors as well, such as diabetes, elevated cholesterol, heart disease, smoking, physical inactivity, and certain dietary certain diets are also associated with stroke risk.
Well, when you give me all those possibilities, I understand why so many people have them, because you've just described probably the major populace of this country, at least.
Yes.
Unfortunately. But if you are under medication for hypertension, cholesterol, whatever the case may be, and you don't smoke and you eat healthy, you can pretty much make it through here, can't you?
You can. You can significantly lower your risk of stroke. Sometimes, though, you know, strokes can occur despite risk factors. Right. About 1 in 10 strokes, you know, occur in young adults, age 18 to 50. So so strokes can occur for other reasons and often can be unexpected, although, as you mentioned, that's less common.
Right, right. Okay. Is it hereditary in any sense? Besides,
there are risk factors. So family history can be a risk factor for stroke, but it's probably in most cases less important than some of those other modifiable risk factors that I mentioned.
When I was introducing you with your 2000 credentials, there, one of them was telestroke, and what is that? That sounds fascinating.
Sure. So telestroke is a system of care which allows a remote stroke expert to evaluate a patient in their local emergency room to assist with the diagnosis and treatment of a patient having a stroke. It's important because historically there was a lot of variability in how stroke was being diagnosed and treated across hospitals. This was particularly true in rural and underserved hospitals, which often had a lack of access to physicians with expertise in stroke, most commonly neurologists. What telestroke does is there's typically a cart, a telemedicine cart, that can be placed at the foot of the bed of the patient, and then a physician can be contacted who is at a remote location, who can then, through an audio-video connection, talk with the patient, evaluate the patient, examine the patient, and also review any radiologic studies, any brain imaging done on that patient to assist with the timely diagnosis and treatment of stroke.
Now, that's pretty cool. That makes sense, because you don't physically have to be in the room if you're fed all the information. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Now, where do we go for more information here?
So there's a website, www.strokeawareness.com, that goes over a lot of what I said, also the signs and symptoms of stroke as well.
And if you feel that you're suffering one, or maybe, I understand time is of the essence with that.
That's right. Anyone who's concerned that they're with someone that may be having a stroke, the importance is to call 911 so that a patient is delivered by ambulance to a facility that's capable of diagnosing and treating stroke patients.
And this, now we talked about what can cause stroke. If I am with somebody, what would I see if they were suffering a stroke?
Yeah, so there's a useful acronym for your listeners called FAST, which stands for face, arm, speech, and time. Mm-hmm. So they would evaluate for any facial droop or asymmetry of the face if they ask the patient to smile.
Right.
They would look for any weakness on one side of the body, so they would ask the patient to lift both arms, or you could lift both arms for the patient and see if one is paralyzed or collapses or drifts down. And then you would listen for any slurring of the speech, so you could ask someone to repeat a simple phrase like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yes.
If their speech sounds slurred or they have difficulty repeating, that can be a sign of a stroke. So any one of those three signs is very sensitive for stroke. And if you see that, the recommendation is to call 911 because of that T, the time-sensitive nature, to call 911 and make sure that, that the patient is brought to a stroke-ready hospital by ambulance.
So it might be a good idea to check to see if your local hospital, the one that's nearest by, does have that capability, just in case.
Yeah, that's right. So there's actually, varies by state to some degree, but there's a certification process that identifies different levels of stroke care that are available. So from comprehensive stroke centers to primary stroke centers, and then to what are called acute stroke-ready hospitals that are linked via telemedicine to a facility to at least provide that initial urgent stroke care.
Okay. All right. And one more time, the location website to get more information.
www.strokeawareness.com.
There we have it. Thank you, Doctor, for your time today. Good information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Here's your doctor. Here's your doctor right here. Here's your doctor right here. Important information to know, not only for ourselves, but for those around us, our loved ones. We should be able to know what to do when those things happen, and they do happen unannounced for the most part, and, you know, not good stuff. And then once you do have a stroke, if you happen to, there are medications now that can pretty much give you a good life there for yourself. Well, from that, we're going to go all the way out to Las Vegas. Right now, as a matter of fact, where Courtney Hansen is standing by. She's at an auto show, and those are always interesting. So let's go hook up with Courtney out there in Las Vegas right now.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Courtney. How you doing?
Doing great.
Must be very early there.
It is about 4:30.
Seriously? Oh, my God.
It's already 5.
You don't even know. God. Do you know what day this is?
What day is it?
Okay, never mind.
What's my name again? I don't
okay,
even know.
All right. Okay, you're a real television media person now. All right, here we go. You're speaking to the Boston area. We'll talk for about 7 minutes. Here we go. Courtney Hansen joins us now, television personality, sports columnist, and author of The Garage Girl's Guide to Everything You Need to Know About Your Car, which is far more than I know at all about anything. But Courtney's here. You're live on scene somewhere, I understand.
Yes, I'm at the SEMA show in Las Vegas, which is the big automotive convention trade show, biggest in the world. We're covering 1 million square feet and showcasing all the latest trends in the automotive space.
Wow, so you're surrounded by new technology and new designs and the whole thing.
Yes, a little bit of everything. It's all here at SEMA.
Very cool.
Equipment Market Association, and it is spectacular.
Wow. Okay. So most of us these days are, you know, like with smartphones and electronics, we're all like really involved with technologies and all the amazing things that cars can do. Cars are they have wheels and they get you places, but they're also like technology machines.
Yes, yes. Well, they are like computers on wheels.
Yeah.
And on that note, the high-tech machines of today require high-tech training. And for the past 15 years, WireTech automotive schools have been training the technicians of tomorrow in their state-of-the-art facilities throughout the country. It's a goal and dream of mine to attend WireTech one day. Because like you said, cars today are like computers on wheels, and they require that certain level of expertise. And this is really a hands-on, fast-growing career path that continues to employ technicians in a variety of fields throughout the industry.
Wow. So as cars become more complicated, we tend to understand them less and just kind of are in awe of what they do.
That's right. I'm totally in awe.
Yeah.
But I still love the classics, too. So, Hyundai has done something cool.
Yeah.
The new Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid just broke the FIA-approved land speed record at Bonneville, hitting 157 miles per hour.
Wow.
Now, their engineering team really focused on the car's eco-performance and combined a special aerodynamics package with nitrous oxide to achieve this, which I think is phenomenal. This newest model hybrid and their electric version go on sale in the U.S. in the end of 2016. And then this is cool, too. Hyundai Motor America partnered with BC Moto, who does some really awe-inspiring things. And this time they developed a 1,075 horsepower rear-wheel drive SUV called the Santa Fast.
Yeah.
It's really on the cutting edge of technology, and this is a fun SUV to drive. I can't imagine anyone who wouldn't want to get behind the wheel of it.
Wow.
And now, here's something for the everyday person. Anybody can appreciate this who drives the car.
Okay.
One of the quickest and easiest ways to improve the comfort and the performance of your ride is with a good set of tires. And Toyota tires, who I honestly love dearly, they have a reputation for building tires that are durable and have long tread life, and they perform really well. And at this year's SEMA show, they're showcasing two brand new tires that would likely fit one of the vehicles in your driveway. They have the Toyo Open Country QT, which was developed specifically for SUVs and CUVs. And this tire is all about durability, the long tread life, safety, and, of course, performance. So it's really a tire that's for the whole family, or it could be on many of the vehicles that we see on the roads today. And then they also have the Open Country CT, which is the all-terrain commercial durability tire. And this one's going to be for your pickup truck, your heavy-duty truck that you find on the job site, and also the trucks that want to go out and have some weekend fun. And I love this. They both come with Toyo's No Regrets Trial Offer, which gives the drivers the opportunity to drive the drive on the tires for 45 days or 500 miles completely risk-free.
What? I've never heard of that before. That's crazy.
Yeah. So those are some of the things that I really love at SEMA Show. Another trend you're seeing are these big Ford custom Super Duty trucks. They're everywhere, and they look so cool. There are a lot of heavily modified cars and trucks this year, and it's just heaven for gearheads and anybody who cares about cars out here in Vegas.
Yeah, well, sure. So you're surrounded by all this stuff. What's really wowing you? What else is there?
I'm a classic car girl, and so I'm wowed by everything I'm seeing at SEMA, but I'm really loving the custom cars that some of my friends, the designers in the industry, have built. There's some extraordinary work by the Ring Brothers and Chip Boost and Bobby Alloway and Troy Chapanier and Troy Ladd. I'm doing a new show, by the way, coming soon with Troy Ladd, who's an automotive designer who is just phenomenal. You can see his work at HollywoodHotRods.com.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just stoked to see all the classic cars out here and the modern cars that I'm surrounded by, the late model cars here in Toyo's booth. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah. Wow. How did you end up writing a book about this? I mean, how did you get so deeply involved in automobiles?
Well, my dad raced SCCA, and he won 27 national championships, and we used to own a speedway in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up in the automotive space, and then I just felt like there was a need for a book that would talk to the woman and the everyday car owner about how to take care of her car, how to buy a car, shop for the car, sell the car, trick it out. And so I wrote that book in 2005, and I'm working on another one now. So I'm really excited to put out something new that kind of, that stays abreast of the ever-changing trends in the industry.
And now you're surrounded by it in Las Vegas. I mean, seriously, what kind of job do you have? I know.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome out here. If you've never been, you should put it on your bucket list because it's incredible.
Wow. If you ever want to switch jobs, Courtney, I'll go to Vegas with cars around me, and you can sit in a little studio all morning, okay?
Yes! Nah. There are advantages to both, let me tell you.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Well, I don't really have to wear pants if I don't want to. I think you do.
Exactly.
You have to do that.
You can roll in your pajamas.
Yeah, sort of.
Enjoy your coffee.
Sort of. Yeah, it does sound nice, actually. Okay. Where do we go for more information about all the things that you're seeing?
Oh, okay. For more information, you can follow my social media pages, or you can go to SEMAShow.com or the hashtag SEMA2016.
Very good.
Courtney Hansen, and it's H-A-N-S-E-N, on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I'm actually posting the most on Snapchat, and then Facebook, I'm posting a ton of stuff. So
you're all over the place. And SEMA, by the way, is SEMA if you're looking for that. And of course, Courtney's book is The Garage Girl's Guide to Everything You Need to Know About Your Car, but you'll find that on her website as well. Hey, it's always fun speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a cup of coffee and a donut on me. I don't know how you're going to find me to charge it, but try to. Thanks,
okay,
Courtney.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're out of time for today. I'll be with you again tomorrow for the live show at 10 o'clock a.m. on YouTube Live, The Ron Van Dam Show. Go there. And then we'll also have a brand new show for Friday as well, right here. Until then, I wish you peace.